ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರೀ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವೀ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಜಯ ಹೋ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಪ್ರಸಾದ್. ಈ ಕಡೆ ಅಂತ ಥೋಡಾ ದಿಸ್ಸುದೇ ಆಮೇಲೆ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 27th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಕ್ ಬೈ ಚಂಡ ವೇಗ ಆನ್ ದ ಸಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಪುರಂಜನ. ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚಾರಿ ಆಶ್ರಮ. ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 6. ಐ ಶುಡ್ ರೀಡ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಆರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರೀಡ್ ದ ಒನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್? ಓಕೆ. ಯಾ 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 ತಸ್ಯಾಮಜನಯ ಪುತ್ರ ಯತ್ಪುತ್ರಾನ್ ತಸ್ಯಾಮಜನ ಯತ್ಪುತ್ರಾನ್ ಪುರಂಜನ್ಯಾ ಪುರಂಜನಃ ಶತಾನ್ಯೇಕಾದಶ ವಿರಾಡ ಆಯುಷೋ ಧರ್ಮ ಅಥಾತ್ಯಗತ್ ಆಯುಷೋರ್ಧಂ ಅಥಾತ್ಯಗಾತ್ ತಸ್ಯಾಮಜನ ಯತ್ಪುತ್ರಾನ್ ಪುರಂಜನ್ಯಾ ಪುರಂಜನಃ ಶತಾನ್ಯೇಕಾ ಕದಶ ವಿರಾಡ ಕಾದಶ ವಿರಾಡ ಆಯುಷೋರ್ಧರ್ಮ ಥಾತ್ಯಗಾತ್ ತಸ್ಯಾಂ ವಿದಿನ್ ಹರ್ ಅಜನಾಯತ ಹಿ ಬಿಗಾಟ್ ಪುತ್ರಾನ್ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಪುರಂಜನ್ಯಾಂ ಇನ್ ಪುರಂಜನಿ ಪುರಂಜನಃ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಪುರಂಜನ್ ಶತಾನಿ ಹಂಡ್ರೆಡ್ಸ್ ಏಕಾದಶ ಇಲೆವೆನ್ ವಿರಾಟ್ ಓ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಯುಷ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಅರ್ಧಂ ಹಾಫ್ ಅಥ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ಅತ್ಯಗಾತ್ ಹಿ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸೇಜ್ ನಾರದ ದೆನ್ ಅಡ್ರೆಸ್ಡ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಚುನಿ ಭರಿಷತ್, ಓ ಒನ್ ಹೂಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಸ್ಪ್ಯಾನ್ ಇಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ವಿರಾಟ್, ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಓ ವಿರಾಟ್, ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಪುರಂಜನ ಬಿಗಾಟ್ 1100 ಸನ್ಸ್ ಶತಾನಿ ಏಕಾದಶ ವಿದಿನ್ ದ ವೂಂಬ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಪುರಂಜನಿ. ಹವೆವರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಿಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಹಿ ಪಾಸ್ಡ್ ಅವೇ ಹಾಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಸ್ಪ್ಯಾನ್. Purport: In this verse there are several significant words, the first of which is Ekadashi Shatani. Puranjan had begotten 1100 sons within the womb of his wife and thus passed half life away of his life. Actually every man follows in a similar process. If one leaves lives for 100 years at the utmost. In his family life, he simply begets children up to age of 50. Unfortunately, at the present moment, people do not live even 100 years. Nonetheless, they beget children up to age of 60. Wow. Another point is that formerly people used to beget 100 to 200 sons and daughters. Wonderful. As will be evident from this verse, King Puranjan not only begot 1100 sons but also got 110 daughters. It's always one tenth. At the present moment, no one can produce such huge quantities of children. Instead, mankind is very busy checking the increase of population by contraceptive methods. Hare Krishna. Next verse translation is as follows. O Prajapati, King Prachini Bharishat, in this way, King Puranjana also begot 110 daughters. All of those were equally glorified like her father and mother. Their father and mother. Their behavior was gentle and they possessed magnanimity and other good qualities. After this, text number 8. After this, King Puranjana, king of Panchala country, in order to increase the descendants of his paternal family, married his sons with qualified wives, married daughters with qualified husbands. Of these many sons, text number 9, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchal became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Puranjana. Text number 10. These sons and grandsons were virtually plunderers. The real story begins here. Were virtually plunderers of King Puranjana's riches, including his sons, including his home, treasury, servants, secretaries, and all other paraphernalia. Puranjana's attachment for these things was very deep-rooted. That means his attachment to his treasury, home, servants, secretaries, all other paraphernalia was deep-rooted. Text number 11. The great sage Narad continued, "My dear King Prachini Bharishat, like you, King Puranjana also became implicated in so many desires." Like you, the word is mentioned now. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers, and social leaders with various sacrifices, which were all very ghastly, because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals. Last verse for today, 12th. Thus King Puranjana, being attached to fruitive activities, karmakanda, as well as kith and kin, as well as the dear ones, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at the point not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. Okay. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruvai Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sounds very familiar story. In each and our everybody's life. Narad Muni is exhibiting his kindness. And the kindness is also coupled up with intelligence. To actually be effective in the mode of preaching that he is doing to Prachini Bharishat. Only kindness is not sufficient unless that kindness or compassion is exhibited in a very intelligent, palatable, acceptable way. So if Narad Muni would have told King Prachini Bharishat, "You are very lusty, you are very entangled, you are fallen, You are going to suffer like anything. You are going to go to hell for all the attachments you have. So Narad Muni, so King Prachini Barishad wouldn't have appreciated so much. Because what is in between Narad Muni and Prachini Barishad is the ego of King Prachini Barishad. It's a big wall which will cause a lot of pain and a lot of unacceptance. Although it is truth, and also although it is truth and out of compassion. So when we are going out, many times we see things black and white, but still we don't address it or address them black and white. We just go round and round and gradually start telling people what is supposed to be done. You cannot tell a meat eater that you are a sinner number one. You are going to go to become fish and chicken and you are going to become goat and you are going to become fish hundreds of times in life because you have eaten them hundreds of lives. Your hundreds of life here onwards is doomed. You will never see your face again. But what we do? Keep giving prasadam, go on narrating the prasadam. This is from Govardhan Eco Village, this is from Vrindavan Bihari, this is from Madan Mohan, this is from Vrindavan, this is from Barsana, this is from Nandagaon. And go on feeding. And you will not need to tell that you are going to take hundreds of births suffering in hell. They will give up on its own. Because we have seen that, I am telling you my experience. And Adikasya Prabhu also sitting over here. Our experience is that when we go on eating prasad, automatically the taste for a non-vegetarian food goes away. Automatically, taste for food which is vegetarian but not offered to Krishna also goes away. You don't have to every time give injection of the truth. You can just give Krishna. Or give things which are connected with Krishna. So they do their job better than telling them unpalatable truth. So Narad Muni is doing that. But he's not going to be leaving him with the story and say, okay, wow, the story is very wonderful. I really loved the story. It's not like that. He's telling, it is you, like you. And finally, the way he tells the story, King Prachini Barishad himself tells, this looks like my story only. He himself accepts, instead of Narad Muni telling you, he's telling it is me. So purpose is fulfilled. Ultimately, it is not the method. Finally, it is the truth which you have to convey. Second important is the method. But the most important is the result. We have to aim at the result, a goal. And that should be achieved. Method can be varied. You can use different method. I can use different method. But if both of us achieve the goal, both methods are perfect. We can see how the person who preached us has taken so much time and patience and kindness to deal with us. If he was harsh, then we wouldn't have taken up Krishna consciousness. In fact, I remember I was very harsh to the preacher. Yeah, really harsh. I would tell him, I would invite, when he would come, Dayaram Prabhu would come to give me Juhu Radha Rasbihari Mahaprasad. I would immediately call order for non-vegetarian food in cafeteria and eat in front of him just to irritate him. And I told him, finally, don't come. I'm not interested. But you know how compassionate he was. He was constantly bringing prasad all the way, travel from Juhu to Sanders Road, walk all the way to the hostel Arambat, and still give, tolerate my impudence out of friendship and still give prasad. And then that all that tolerance changed the heart. Was so argumentative. So this king is also a very big man. He's not an ordinary person. He owns a kingdom. He owns treasury. He has so much of wealth, so much of power, authority. So many things are there. So if he can always say, I'm not interested. You come, take prasad and go. Take dakshina and go. Don't bother me with all these stories and philosophy and guidance. I don't need. But still the sadhu will come. And then when the sadhu will still come, it somewhere melts the heart of a proud, hard-hearted person. And then words are not required. The activity itself melts the heart. So I told Dayaram Prabhu, don't come. I'm not interested. 1 year I've heard you, discussed with you. I know, but I'm not interested. What can I do? So then that point he said, we are friends, na? I said, yeah, definitely. Friendship, mein koi, no doubt about friendship. So you come once to temple for the sake of my friendship. And once you come to temple, you don't like the temple, forget me, forget temple. But we all have tremendous faith in the situation called temple. And the situation called deity's presence. And the situation called the power around the deities that the deities have. They are not a pratima or a stone, you know. They are personalities, they who exist with us, stand there day and night for giving us mercy. So I said, yeah. No, at young age we are very emotional, you know, very highly emotional. EQ is very high. So dosti ka vasta diya, matlab, are friendship ke liye kuch bhi kar sakte. So come, okay, let's go to temple. So I went to temple. There also I criticized many things. Because I'm a medical student, so about the hygiene, about the cold food, about so many things about the dancing way, the way they danced, and everything I criticized. But when I was brought in the presence of the Mangalarati situation, everything was like completely wiped off. All arrogance, all argumentative nature was completely finished, and myself, unbelievably humbly, I asked, now what should I do? Please tell me. I didn't have any other things, no discussion, no argument, no philosophy. He also didn't preach me like other times. He just was like following me wherever I was going, guiding me, taking me to temple room and, you know, all the Prabhupada quarters and everything. So, what does it mean that when there is a heart which is full of real compassion and the method is conducive, not aggressive, and not harsh, the action itself changes the heart of people. And then he told me, chant 4 rounds. So I said, what else? So he just bought a kantimala and tied around my neck. He didn't even tell me, you're going to give up non-vegetarian? He didn't ask this, tied up. I said, what should I do? After wearing this, you should give up non-vegetarian. What else I'm asking? I'm also like, I now want to reciprocate. He just bought a book, Science of Self-Realization. I think everybody should read that book. That book is like a fantastic book. So read this book and come every Sunday. And that I would be doing, because after all that, there was a feast of 15 items meant for only devotees, Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. And I used to eat 2 plates of prasad, not 1 plate of prasad. I stood in the corner and I used to eat very nicely, systematically, you know, with full concentration, really. So that again pulled on every Sunday, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, feast. And then the feast changed to Wednesday. So I changed my day of going to temple. Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning, 15 items. Ekadashi, 20 items. Ekadashi, Duppat Khashi. And that's how. So here Narad Muni is trying to tell a bare, hard fact of life. It's not easy that everybody can digest, no? If I tell you are lusty, if I tell you are egoistic, if I tell you are greedy, if I tell you are envious number one, how many of us can tolerate that, tell me? After 40, 45, 50 years of Krishna consciousness also, if somebody tells you on your face, you are crazy, nobody can accept that. But still, we are being tolerated by our spiritual master, our peers, our counselors, our seniors. Eh? All the devotees know each other's fault, but they don't talk about it. You are rascal number one. I know. I'm tolerating you for the last 20 years. Nobody says that. They're just accepting us the way we are. If Krishna is accepting us the way we are, devotees say, "Why? Who am I? I should also accept. And let this soul, like I am given a chance. Being a rascal, I am giving a chance to do my service and progress in Krishna consciousness. Others are also being given a chance." But the story which Narad Muni is telling is very, very significant. Maybe the numbers are different now. 1100, 110 may not be applicable. But the essential part of the story is applicable. What is it? All of us, I'm not talking about brahmacharis, but everybody who is a student is always aspiring, one day I'll get married. After that, I will earn money. I will settle down. And we don't know how much of time is set, I can't say wasted, but spent in that situation. And then everybody after getting married, they want children. And nowadays so many people are not having children. So, Prabhuji may be knowing, I also know that how much energy is now spent to somehow try to have children. So many methods, artificial, natural, this, that, so much of waiting period, so much of frustration, so much of chanting loss because the mind is not happy. So much of mental energy is dissipated. And in the process, when the child comes, because of the whole effort, we get overly attached to the child. Here is talking about 1100 children. Is one son also enough, such a son who's come in the category of precious child? And then so much of attachment to the child, so much of care and so much of pampering and so much of working hard day and night in the child's consciousness, constantly immersed, what to do, child should be getting everything perfect and this and that. In the process, we get attached to the child. And then what happens? Let me tell you very honestly. The child grows up, the child becomes independent. Because all of us have come here to become independent, including you and me also. We also wanted to be independent. When I was 14, 15, I wanted to be out of my father's control. I used to complain to my brothers who are elder to me, how father is like a controller, always trying to control and rule. I don't want to be under him. I want to be a little independent. I want to do things of my own. So we have done that. Our parents have done that. Our children are going to do the same thing. And when they grow a little bit, till that time we are attached. Then our expectations go very high. That my child should do this, my child should do that. He should become Lord Ramachandra. In all qualities, he should be perfect, which he is not. And then we start getting frustrated. And as we grow older and the children become younger, the more and more frustration comes that a child is not listening anything. The boy or a girl is not going to listen anything to you. And our attachment is there. And then finally, the children leave you and go away. They don't want to, they have only to tell you what you did not do for us. While they will never mention what you did for us. So what? It was your duty. And our time, we didn't have that guts to talk to a parent like that. But today's children, they ask, if there is some argument, you tell the children, do this, do that. So uncle has come, touch his feet, and he's not going to do that. And then after uncle goes, you tell, "Arey, why didn't you touch? It's our etiquette. So don't tell me anything." So then you start telling, you didn't do this also, that also. We did so many things for you. Sleepless nights, so much of money, time, papa's, mummy, papa tells about mummy, mummy tells about papa. So many things that you have done. And what the child will say? Why you gave birth to me? Who told you to give birth to me? You invited me. They even say, you did the activity for your enjoyment. And I was invited by you. Now you have to take care. What is the big thing you have done? So what you have done is nullified like this. And what you have not done is repeatedly told to you. If you are a cycle family, like you have cycle, then they'll say, for me one cycle is required. If you are a car family, I want a separate car. If you are a Mercedes car family, I want separate Mercedes or Audi. The principle remains same. The volume of money involved is different. But whatever situation you are, it's normal for the child. It's not that, my friend is driving a cycle and I am moving a Mercedes. I should be very thankful to my parents. The child will never think like that. Let my friend be on his level. It is his karma. I am on my karma level. So I have my expectations from my father and mother. Unbelievably, the life goes in the same routine way in all the families. All the families without any exception. What is being told here in Puranjan's case and what is happening in our life is exactly same. Everybody undergoes the same thing. And everybody, when they are rearing a small child and the elderly grihasthas are watching, see how much time, energy, love, energy, money, so much thought process is invested in this child. This child is not going to listen to the parents as soon as few years are passed. Love doesn't decrease, but there's so much of pain is there in between. And then in your case, Brahmachari's case, after all that thing, you left the home and joined Brahmachari Ashram. And there's a different kind of pain. Later on, it takes long time for the parents to know, wow, it's a grace to us actually. It's God's grace upon us that my child became a sadhu. But what about those years from the time you left till they come to realization? It's only pain and pain and pain, you know. I remember a saintly personality in Barsana was born out of Mannat. What is it called, Mannat in English? I don't know. Something, they had gone to Rameshwar, mother and father, to pray to Lord Rameshwar, Shankara. And then this boy was born. So his name is Rameshwar Prasad. And then from birth only, this child was like completely detached from the worldly activities. And the parents were very happy to get a son, that too not a girl. Girl was born before, but boy they wanted. So boy was born. So by the mercy of Rameshwar Bhagwan, so they named him Rameshwar Prasad. And from birth, the child is detached. So they were worried, right? Means the boy was born, gave happiness, and worry also came along with that, because the boy was not attached to any worldly activities. At the age of 12, the boy ran away. But TC caught, so he was brought back. Second time ran away, something else happened, again brought back. And third time also ran away, and successfully ran away to Barsana. In the meantime, father passed away at a small age. Father gave birth to child, and at the age of 4, father passed away. So mother was alone. So when this child went away, the mother meant, amari Marathi mein ek shabd hai, aine jang jang pachadla. That means mother did every possible thing to search for this child. You know, there's people who are looking at the photograph and tell which direction he has gone, or some chart, or something, or some kavdi they put, or some nariyal they put, and nariyal moves directions. All those, there are hajaro things in India which are valid also. It's not, they told which direction this child has gone. And the mother, poor mother, whatever direction the fellow told, she came searching, came to Barsana and found him. And imagine after that, the son is saying, why you came here? Go away from here. I'm not interested. So the mother, you can see the attachment. She was fortunate to have a sadhu son, so attachment was valid and purifying in the course of time. But she didn't know sadhu, badhu, she didn't know anything. So how desperate the attachment of the child is. She found out that he has taken diksha from some baba in Prem Sarovar. So she went to that guru, she found him out. Kaun hai wo? She went and she told. This is what the whole story is. So the baba came and chastised this boy. What do you think of yourself? She's a mother. She's worshipable. She has given birth to you. At least don't kick her away from this place. Let her stay here. At least she will see you and you can keep your doing bhajan. So he said, okay, I'll not stay. I'll stay on the mountain. Let her stay down. So she, from his age of 12, whatever, 15 or whatever, searching time must be there sometime. Till she left her body, she stayed there only. Now this is very fortunate because the son is a pure devotee, finally, great sadhu. But this is true, even the son is a dacoit, is a daku, is a drunkard, is a man, you know, meat eater, or a womanizer, or a gambler. Mother's attachment remains same because it is like a pure attachment. It had no motivation that he, child is child. So they just said that mother's love and parents' love, I can tell you now confidently that parents' love is almost unconditional. I will not say fully unconditional, but some expectation is there. That's why it's not fully unconditional. But it is very close to unconditional. Because I can tell you from my heart that whatever the child does, the parent never stop loving the child. However the child is insulted, abused, kept you in the vriddhashrama, you know, and not seen you for years together, not talked to you, not even once asked, how are you, mommy, papa? But the parents never think any time ill about the child. Never talk anything bad about the child. This kind of attachment is there in family life. So how do we save ourselves? Like it's mentioned here, see. The goody-goody story is there. 1100 sons, 110 daughters, He got them married, so much of time. Happily he got them married to increase his progeny. Girls were married with suitable husbands. What is written after that? All the son, they plundered the riches of Puranjana. They are not even waiting that Puranjana will divide the wealth in the course of time. What are they doing? Before that only. What did that Dundukari did? The father is alive, not that old. Saying, "Father, give me my wealth now only." With a sword point, he's asking. Father was so frustrated. Same story. He wanted to have a son. And he did so many things, you know. And he got a son, but that fruit was eaten by Dunduli. No, Dunduli did not eat the fruit. She fed the cow and adopted the sister's son. And the sister's son was a demon number one. He plundered the wealth of that Brahmana. Huh? And that Gokarna, who was the son of the fruit, the product of the fruit, was sadhu. But so much pain, so much plundering of wealth, so much home, treasury, servants, secretariat, all the paraphernalia which he was attached to was already usurped by the sons. Now what is happening? Hare Baba, I will give you. No, I want now only. I will plunder and get your wealth. Right now I want to enjoy wealth. So this is not going to give happiness to you. Then what is happening? Next verse. Next verse is mentioned that Puranjana became implicated in so many desires. Then what he did to get out of all this miserable situation? Why my son is doing like this? Why is he doing like this? Oh, your house is, vastu is not correct. Or your some shani dasha or some dasha is not helping you. So if you do this vidhi at Trambakeshwar, then the whole dosha will go away. If you change your house, then things will become better. If you stay in this house, the sons will plunder all your wealth. Better you change your house. This is all truth, huh, by the way. This is all reality of today. Everybody is relating all the mishaps to either a house situation or to some dasha. Nobody thinks that all because of my karma. And what is the end result? You spend, worship demigods, worship forefathers, and do various sacrifices which are not always sattvic. It's mentioned ghastly over here. Many harsh sacrifices. You know, you have to give a murgi as bali, one goat as bali sometimes. You have to do this, so many things you have to do to solve your problematic situations in life. But I can tell you, nothing changes. Things remain same. Why they don't change? Because karmas don't change. You're not working on your karmas. You're working on the results of the karma. If the source is not corrected, how the result will be corrected? How the effect will be corrected? Right? In here in Krishna consciousness, we learn that we have to correct the source. The root we have to correct. That's why things keep changing in life. As soon as we become following four regulatory principles, even life becomes very sattvic. Joy starts coming immediately in life. Then we chant Hare Krishna, then bliss starts coming, then devotee association, then dancing. So the positive engagement in transcendental activities corrects the root of your suffering. That is karma and the result of karma. And then when there is so much of joy of Krishna consciousness, then even though a remaining karma, which are like karmani nirdhati kintucha bhakti bhajam, Brahmaji says, after you become devotee, your karmas get burnt. But some karmas Krishna keeps so that we get purified, which are necessary for getting purified. Even those reactions come, we don't get affected so much. Why? Because there's so much of joy of Krishna consciousness. How do you counteract misery? Not by doing rituals like this, going to Trambakeshwar, going to Kashi, going to Himalayas, going to Lord Shiva's places and doing so many sacrifices, spending so much of time and money. I remember my family, you know, one of the brother's son had a deadly disease. To save him from that disease, my brother, my God, what all he has not done. What all, 24/7, only meditating on saving his son. And after doing all that money, time, traveling, consultations, various kind of unforeseen activities, unknown activities, gray area activities. After doing all that, the sun seal died. But I was telling him, chant Hare Krishna and telling him the truth of life. But why he could not listen? Because the attachment makes your intelligence obscured. Asakti covers your intelligence. Asakti pollutes your intelligence. It makes the intelligence bhrashta. You become buddhi bhrashta when you are too much attached. When you give up the attachment, even partially, intelligence starts coming back. But intelligence is not, if the attachment is not worked upon, intelligence, even if it is there, it is useless. So that is why I generally keep talking to people, because so many cases come, so many discussions come, so many variety of things come. We are asked about advice on vastu, so many things we are asked about, It's a very difficult situation to even reject those things. Oh, we don't deal with all these things, don't talk to us. Then that person will go away. So you have to keep encouraging, find some mean, golden mean. But then, of late I am telling that what you can change, try to change. Don't think you are a doer and you will be able to change, but try. But don't be overtly attached to the result of what you are doing to change situations. You may do and things may not change. Then you just give up. Or in the family life, if things are like you have trained the children, you expect something, but children are not going to do that, they are not doing it, then just learn to be detached and learn to only do your duties. Don't give up your duties and don't be overtly attached to the result of your duties. Just do your duties, knowing that you are not the controller of your children. God is. Give it up to the Lord. You do your job and let the Lord handle the result. Because the person also has his own package of karma, his own independent desires, his own goal of life, whatever. Everybody has. See, I have a desire that you should become, my son should become a devotee. But you as a son also has a desire that I want to do so many things. I don't want to make it priority. Yeah, I'm devotee, I chant, I don't eat nonsense outside. But don't tell me not to do these things. I will go to movies, I'll do that, I'll have so many things. We have groups and we discuss so many things which are not so Krishna conscious. But don't, Papa, don't interfere in this. You lived your life, let me live my life. You went against your parents to become devotee and you hurt them when you become Hare Krishna. Now we have become devotees, now let me do what I want to do. You hurt your parents, so reaction is coming to you. Hare, children, tell this to you. My father was very strict. We didn't like it. Too strict. Now whatever he didn't allow us to do, we will do everything what he didn't allow us to do. This is what is happening in family life. And perpetually, whether you are in 1950s family, or 1980 family, or 2000 year family, or 2022 family, how things amazingly repeat itself. How they repeat, amazingly. Your father had the same feelings about your grandfather, you have the same feelings about your father, your children have same feeling for you, and when they will grow up and give birth to children, their children also will have same contemporary situation of rebellion. And this goes on. So what do we learn out of that? What is Narayana trying to tell? Detach. Don't be too much attached to your expectations. About others, keep expectations from yourself and work on those expectations. What you want to expect yourself to have, that is pure devotion, bhakti, service, consistency, good qualities. You can decide about yourself. Don't decide about others. You pray, wish good. But you don't try to control them, because you are not going to control them. You are not going to be able to control them. At one point of time, to keep your peace, give up, let go. And that is true about, even not in family life also. Everything in life is in control of the Lord. And we try to control, take the position of the Lord by the desire that this should happen this way. Under my tenure of presidentship or leadership, things should happen like this. But they don't happen. neither in brahmachari ashram nor in grihastha ashram nor in sannyasi ashram. Things always go with the will of the Lord. And how we make progress is by aligning ourselves with the will of the Lord. And when we do that, first of all, you and me become peaceful. And only when we are peaceful, we can chant Hare Krishna and do a sadhana nicely, and we can be on the path of our bhakti very effectively. What is finally important is, basically, finally, is I need to go back to Godhead as my goal of life. And if possible, my children, my family, everybody should go back to Godhead. I wish, I pray, and really sincerely pray to the Lord. But their going back to Godhead is also in their hands, partially, by the desire independent that they have. So how much I should control that desire? No, I should not. I should encourage, pray, speak appreciative words. Don't always talk about negative things. You don't do this, you don't do that. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. Appreciate what you did. Thank you very much. Encourage and wait patiently till they exactly do what you want them to do. And maybe they will not do what you want them to do. Accept it gracefully and gratefully. And thank the Lord. Okay, at least I could do this much. Whatever I could not do, it's up to you to fulfill. But I could do, even others could not do even that. I could do that. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you very much. You assure your mental peace and happiness by this. Otherwise, I've seen parents crying and crying to the last breath of their life. Just because they could not give up the desire to expect or what they wanted to control or what they wanted to happen in their family, they could not control, but they never accepted, always denied, and they were in denial mode. Why this way? Why not this way? The result is the children kept on doing what they did and the parents kept on crying till the last breath of life. What is the use of such life? And when we see so many people in front of us going through the same situation, why don't we learn? Why don't we learn? We should learn. So finally, we do all these things out of love. That is the highest way of doing things, is love. But Prakruti will bring you down to the level of Kartavya by force. By the way of love, you want to show what is my love for you and how best I express my love for you by expecting you to do this thing and the result. But the reality of life will force you to do your activity only out of duty, if you are intelligent. And if you keep doing out of love, you will keep suffering. Although it's the best way of doing things, unexpectedly, no expectation, selflessly. But mostly all of us settle down on the platform of doing all those wonderful things for children on the duty level, not on controller level. Finally, life is short and we don't have so much time to waste on many things. Already to make us eligible to meet the Lord and go back to the Lord is a big task, and time is very short for that. So even when children are small and we are raising them in Krishna consciousness, see that you also make progress in Krishna consciousness equally. Don't be so much overtly attached that you all the time involve yourself in the children, children and children only, and don't make spiritual progress. And then you say, oh, so much time has gone. Anyway, child is not listening to me and so many years I wasted. No, intelligent devotee parent will always see that when the child is reared in Krishna consciousness, I also make progress in Krishna consciousness. Because even my time in human life, human time is also very important and precious. Not to be squandered into so many things which are so-called Krishna conscious, but underlying is my bodily attachments. Underlying reality is my bodily attachment. My child, my child. So balance it out. Now you balance it out and afterwards get detached. Hare Krishna. So, how do we get this detachment? It's so easy to say that, right? The way the father and mother is attached to child, I think this is the highest mode of attachment as far as people are concerned. Of course, money is there, and you know, property is there, authority is there, so many things are there which are very subtly we are entangled in that. But as far as people are concerned, the mother-father's attachment to children is very, very, very deep. Some of their love is so much, you know, for the offspring, that attachment also is equally along with that. My personal experience is, if you immerse yourself in Krishna, Krishna Katha, you can gradually come out of it. Because immersing ourselves in the holy name is not that easy. Because sleep comes in between, and maybe so many distractions come in between. Mind is distracted. We don't get up in the morning. There are night we had a late, and so many problems are happening at home. Mother is sick, father is sick, child is sick. There are so many issues, court cases with family going on. So japa is always like a big battle. Divas ratra amma yuddha se prasanga. Day and night there is a battle, and early morning is the biggest battle to chant the holy name attentively. And that too, how many times you are able to bring Krishna in the heart and make him sit down peacefully, we don't know. No, how many times after 1728 mantras, which mantra and how many mantras we could establish him in the heart? We don't know, na? But when we hear Krishna Katha, what happens is Krishna himself comes and settles down in the heart. Because someone is telling the Katha, by his power, Krishna chooses to come in your heart. And he comes in the heart and thinks, anyway, I'm here, let me do some cleansing. If anyway, I'm here, I have to be here for some time, let me do cleansing. Vidunoti suristhitam. Hadayantasya abhadrani. Abhadra is all wiped out. So my experience I can share is that when we are busy in thinking or planning to speak, or we are busy reading, or we are busy hearing, and all the time then we are thinking what to speak, how to read, what points, what important leela, what Guru Maharaj said on this, what Prabhupada said on this. When we are immersed, then when we speak, we get also fully immersed. When we speak, na, just all of you have the experience. When you speak about Krishna, the apparent problems of life do not seem to be affecting you that time at least. Somehow you are taken away or above all the existing painful situations, or existing bothering, harassing situations. Again, after your katha gets over, you come down again. But you are sure that when you are, I am immersed and people are hearing and I am talking, we all are above. So if that can bring you for some time above, it can bring you all time also above. You have experience, so you can execute that activity more and more. And how to do that? I always tell nowadays that those boxes of Prabhupada and Radhana Swami and many gurus, at least for you, Prabhupada and your Guru Maharaj's box, Vani, complete audio book is there in the box. Goes on automatically further. You don't have to even do anything. It gets over, next lecture starts. It goes sequentially from 1 to 4,300. It just goes on. Maybe your life will not be enough to complete 4,300. So each gap in life you fill up. When you are dressing up, you are wearing dhoti and kurta, put it on. When you are brushing in the morning in the washroom, put it on. When you come out and you are preparing, you are packing your bags to go to GEV or go to Vrindavan, put it on. Don't keep any gap in between. Just keep on hearing that Krishna Katha constantly. I can guarantee you, you can be 24/7 above the existing harassing problems of your life. And I'm sure nobody can say, I'm Brahmachari, I don't have any problems. I'm a Grahastha, I don't have any problems. I'm a Sannyasi, I don't have any problems. I'm a Guru, I don't have any problems. In the material world, whoever you are, everybody has problems. Everybody is going through. Even it is said, Jaya Angi Mothepana Taya Yatrana Kathina. That means the more you become advanced, the problems become more graver and more deeper. So by that rule, it is for sure my Guru Maharaj is having much more problems, much deeper and subtler problems than what I think I have. For me, my problems are very big. For you, your problems are very big. But by this rule, we understand more advanced devotees who are on spiritual platform, if they suffer more externally. That is the rule situation. But how do they keep blissful? We say na in the Guru Ashtakam, how Guru Maharaj is blissful. He sees devotees eating prasad, he is blissful. Sri Vigrahara, Dhana Nitya Nana, why worshipping deities, he is blissful. Every activity, you think of Radha Madhav, Sri Radhika, Sri Radha Madhav, Radhika Madhav, whatever fifth verse is there, is blissful. Why is he blissful in the middle of his own biggest challenges of life? And because we know our spiritual master to a certain degree, we know what kind of situations are there in life. We can't even imagine, oh, I don't have anything like that, which he has to go through. Many, many things are there which can't be told, discussed publicly. But for sure I can tell you, the spiritual master and the advanced devotees suffer much, much more externally than we go through our sufferings. But how do they maintain their bliss and give bliss to you and me? By being immersed in Krishna. And out of all the getting immersed in Krishna, Katha is most easy to get immersed. Because Dham is away from you. You have to go to the Dham and connect with the vibration of the Dham. So it takes time and energy also. Holy name I already explained to you. There's a struggle till we become fully immersed in the holy name. And Roop, to see the Roop, we have to come to temple. So everybody cannot stay in temple full time. So in Corona also, the Dham and the Roop were closed. Is it not true? Nobody could go to temple. Worship was going inside in all temples, but Darshanarthi was not allowed. Dhams were all closed. But Krishna Katha and the name were open 24/7 anywhere, subtly and grossly, on Zoom, on whichever platform, in the air, on the ground. Naam and Leela were open. And among these two things, we are more mercifully open for us. Leela is easier. So take the Leela and then reach the name. Take the help of Leela and then get attached to the holy name slowly, slowly. But easier route to take first. Because Kali Yuga is what qualifications we have. What memory we have, what dhi, what buddhi we have. We don't have anything. So as His Holiness, His Grace Adi Keshava Prabhu is going to Udupi today. So I thought I'll talk about Krishna Leela of Udupi, which is connected with Vrindavan, Dwarka and Udupi together. The Lord is so merciful that the Lord, His pastimes are many times connected to many, many holy places. Lord Ramchandra, Ayodhya also, Chitrakut also, Dandakaranya also, Pampa Sarovar also, Rishyamukha Parvat also, Rameshwar also, Lanka also, and then Jagannath Puri also, Lord Ram, Mayapur also, Modadruma Dvipa, Lord Ram. So Lord goes on, and it's a very wonderful statement which the Acharyas make, that the Leela is performed first, Dham manifests after that. When the Lord was bound by Mother Yashoda, that place became Ukhalbandhan. Before that, was there a place called Ukhalbandhan? No. Of course, it's an eternal place, but in this particular age, when Krishna appeared, there was no Ukhalbandhan. Ukhalbandhan appeared after he was bound by Mother Yashoda, right? Chatikra appeared after Shashti Pujan was done by Mother Yashoda. Chatikra appeared. That place was called Chatikra, where Shashti Pujan was done. Garuda Govinda appeared only after Krishna became Garuda, Govinda, and Siddhama became Garuda. That place is called Garuda Govinda. So, all of you know that Mother Yashoda was there with Krishna, with Nanda Maharaj, and they took care of Krishna for so many childhood years, and they had the maximum amount of joy taking care of a child like Krishna. And then all the wives of Krishna, they always heard about Krishna when they were young girls. News would come, and hearing, they were getting attached to Krishna. Rukmini never saw Krishna, but only by hearing, she fell in love with Krishna. And not only Rukmini fell in love with Krishna only by hearing, Satyabhama also, Jambavati also, Lakshmana, Mitravanda, everybody, including those 16,100 girls in the prison house of Jarasandha, they were also hearing about Krishna from childhood. Even in the prison they were there, they would meditate on Krishna. They had no hope because they didn't feel themselves qualified. But they were all time discussing about Krishna, and they had deep love for Krishna, and they were meditating, hope Krishna will come and save us one day. And Krishna did come and save. But all the 16,108 were only hearing about Krishna. Is it not amazing? Without even seeing once, they could fall in love, they could decide, Rukmini could decide that I will run away from this house, break the maryada of my father's family, send a Brahman secretly, cheatingly in one sense, And she did all that. It's not just planning. She did, she executed, and she ran away with Krishna. So much attachment to Krishna can come simply by hearing about him. So much courage, so much guts can come, right? So then they all got married, and Krishna left Mathura. He went to Dwarka after Mathura. And then all the time, the queens would talk to Rohini Mata. Tell us about Krishna. Because you are the party of both. You are here also, you are there also. So Rohini would say, I don't have problem. I can tell you all my eyewitness katha. But moment he will hear, Krishna Balaram both will hear their own stories. They will just call the ratha, the chariot, and they will just quit Dwarka, go to Vrindavan. After they go there, they may not return. So you want your husband with you, or you want to hear the story? Both things are very tempting. But out of the two, husband with us is okay. It's good. But how many days the desire of hearing Krishna Katha, Lauliam, is not going to just get extinguished. It's always going to be burning. And it was always burning. And every single time they would go and ask, they would be denied. And one day they said, isn't that there any way by which we can also hear about Krishna of his childhood pastimes of Vrindavan Dham, and we will prevent Krishna from going to Vrindavan? There should be some way, no? Yeah, so they devised their own way by going to one place which is closed from all sides, one door open, keeping Subhadra there. I'm just cutting it short. And Subhadra will knock us the door and tell us, Krishna Balaram are coming. We will all disappear from there. Nothing will be there. Neither Rohini will be there, nor we will be there. And one more person, apart from the queens who were interested, was Devaki Mata. Because she went through so much to beget Krishna. But she only could get chance to feed Krishna on breast only once. And after that, only worry, and horrible news that Putana came, and my God, my child is under such risk. And only worrying and palpitating in the prison house in Mathura. No other happiness. So much sacrifice. So she also was eager, because she could not, even being mother of child, she could not enjoy the childhood pranks of Krishna and Balaram. So she was also interested. Party to the wives. And this whole scenario came up, and then Rohini was assured that you just go on. The doorkeeper is already told all the instructions, and we will get knock and we will run away, and then nothing to worry. Our both desires, whatever katha we can hear, we can do this leela many times. We can cover up the whole pastimes. They were so much assured. But things don't happen the way we plan in the life, you know. Some of the clues, some of the things we don't even imagine that it could happen. They never imagine that Subhadra will fall in ecstasy and she will get knocked down, and who will guard the door. And surely Subhadra knocked down, because she was so eager to hear. Because she was born after all these things. When Vasudeva and Mathura Devaki were released from kingdom, prison. After that Subhadra was born. So Subhadra ke liye bhi story tha sab. All the stories, only stories. Oh, my brothers were so great. They were in Vrindavan. They were having these pastimes. So she also was, although put outside as a guard, she was very eager to hear. So she fell unconscious. And sure Krishna Balaram came. And Krishna Balaram also saw, our sister looks to be in ecstasy. The wide eyes open, smiling till the ears. What kind of situation? What's happening? Why the doors are closed? So they put their ear to the door. And sure enough, they heard their own pastimes of Vrindavan. Narrated by Mother Rohini. I witness with motherly affection for Krishna Balaram. Vatsalya Samprukta. And there is a sequence how the stories were told, you know. And they were hearing his story for a long time. It's not that they heard and they fell down. But they heard the story. And it so happened that their bodies expanded with 6 inches gap in each joint. It became 30-40 feet. It became like a ball. Again it became 30-40 feet. All these kind of various transformations took place as per the pastimes which were narrated inside. And which reached crescendo, then they also fell down. So this is how the story is of Jagannath Balle Subhadra appeared in Dwarka. But what happened inside? Everybody was fully immersed. Kya kehte hain, safely. They were not having any worry. And they were really also getting transformed into transcendental situation. Divya sthiti mein ja rahe hai sab log. And they also lost their existence. They didn't understand who they are, what their bodies are, where the bodies are. And they were all under transcendental platform. They were all in Vrindavan, in Gokul, wherever Krishna performed his childhood pastime. And when that reached crescendo inside, suddenly Krishna Balaram appeared in baby form, naked, holding churning rod and butter in the hand. And when those beautiful two forms appeared, only ornaments were partially covering their lower parts, but they were filled with ornament, with churning rod in the hand and the butter in the hand. And there was such a sweet smile on their face that Devaki fell unconscious after secreting rivers of milk from her breast. For how Atsalya reached crescendo, and milk flew like rivers, and she fell unconscious after that. And everybody becomes stunned to see the beautiful forms without knowing what's happening outside, who has appeared outside. And Rukmini, out of that, she fell in love with these two kids. Although she had the rasa of being a husband, Krishna was a husband, so she had that rasa, husband wife, swakiya rasa. But still, she fell in love with this form of her husband, who was a baby. And then the children disappeared. Two children disappeared. Here Narad Muni came, this is another pastime. So he woke up Krishna Balaram and everybody woke up. And Jagannath appeared in the world. Rukmini called, who's the architect of the demigods? Vishwakarma. And she narrated her concept, what was imprinted in the heart, in the retina of her eyes also, that those beautiful forms she could not forget day and night. Although she was serving her husband as wife in the conjugal mood, but she could not forget at the same time the motherly affection that she developed newly in her heart. So she explained to Vishwakarma, and under her guidance, the two deities were made in Dwarka. When Krishna was there, all the wives were there, Dwarka Lila was going on, Krishna was still on the planet. These two deities were worshipped by Rukmini all throughout her life. And then at one point of time, she served all throughout her life. While she was serving her husband as husband, she served these two deities as her children in motherly bhava, vatsalya, all throughout her life. And then at one opportune time, Krishna disappeared, Yadavas disappeared, and very intelligently Krishna brought everybody out of Dwarka. If you read Bhagavatam, you will come to know. That is where Uddhava actually doubted. Oh, why? Dwarka itself is glorified by the personal presence of the Lord, and why Lord is taking them out of Dwarka to do auspicious activities to Prabhas Kshetra? That means something is going on here. I think he is leaving the planet, because he wants to make the planet Dwarka, Dwarka from the planet disappear. It was temporarily created for his pastimes. He wanted to make it disappear, so he brought all of the Dwarkavasis out, including his wives. Out of that, Yadavas disappeared, brother disappeared, and he instructed his Parikshit Maharaj and everybody that, wives, you, after I go, take the wives to Vrindavan. So when everybody came out, Dwarka submerged, ocean, they reclaimed land from ocean. Ocean, by the order and will of the Lord, covered Dwarka. So at that time, these two deities, by the will of the Lord, were covered by Gopi Chandana, and they resided at the bottom of that overcoming ocean. That means in Dwarka only, by the water above, they were lying underground. And then many, many years passed, and 8th century, is that right, or 12th century, here Madhvacharya was born. And there's a lot of beautiful stories of Madhvacharya, how he was childhood Vasudeva, then he became Purna Pragya, and then so many Leelas and so many Chamatkaras happened, and he became Sannyasi. He became Madhvacharya at one point of time. And he had many disciples, and he was like preaching very boldly. And at one time he took his 35-40 disciples all the way to Malpe Beach. He had some Sanketa in the mind, so he went there. And at that time only, what happened in Dwarka was one merchant started from there. By the will of the lad, at that time, these two logs of Chandana, they came to the ocean bank, bank of the ocean. I mean, how, you don't ask me? This is all Leela of the Lord. Logic doesn't work here. Maharaj says that when you hear Krishna's pastime, park your intelligence on the cycle and come. Don't use intelligence or tarka anywhere. These are all divine things. Krishna can do anything. So what logs were underwater, they floated and they came to the bank of the ocean. And this particular merchant wanted to balance his boat while sailing. So he picked those up and put on one side and one side. And those logs of wood, they were very big. He sailed from Dwarka. It's all ocean, na, Arabic ocean. So they came to Udupi. At that time, Madhvacharya was there. The boat was lost in the storm. So somehow by Trahimam, Madhvacharya saw. So he's a Vayuputra, na? He's a brother of Hanuman and Bhimsen. So what did he do? He removed the cloth, upper cloth like this, and he just moved it in the air, manipulating the air direction, and pulled the boat to the ocean bank. So the merchant was very happy because his life was saved, his goods were saved, his money was saved, whatever, he was so happy. He said, Maharaj, you saved my life, everything is now owned by you. My life is owned by you. Please tell me what I should give you. I can give you all the wealth which is there in my boat. He said, what do I do with all the wealth? I am a sannyasi, I have given up all the wealth. But I want those two logs of wood. So the servants or the people or the labor had lifted those two logs of chandana from the bank of ocean and they had put it on the boat. But now their servants and people could not lift the. So he said, go. His disciples, 35 of them went to lift. And 35 of them could not even lift one. And they came back. They told Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya went. And with one hand, he lifted one. Another hand, he lifted another one. And like this, like when we have twin babies, now we hold our babies like this. So there are two logs of wood, chandan, he just came left, right, because he was Vayuputra, so much of strength he had. And he started walking towards his temple. And before that, you should know that Madhva Sarovar already had appeared. Madhva Sarovar was already there. So he was walking towards his staying place at the bank of the whatever, at the corner of the Madhva Sarovar, his own Sarovar. But on the beach only, by the will of the Lord, one of the log fell down. And exactly it cracked open. And there was a deity of Balaram. And the Balaram deity spoke to Madhvacharya, please keep me here only. So Madhvacharya very gloriously, ceremoniously installed Balaramji at the bank of Malpe Beach. And he given name, Vadabandeshwara. His name is Vadabandeshwara, and today also he is there. Very beautiful deity. Prabhuji will go now. My heart is longing to come with you. So beautiful. Then with another log of wood, chandan, he went and he put that in that Madhva Sarovar where the chandan melted and the deity of Krishna appeared. And that deity was installed near the lake where Udupi Krishna is today. How beautiful that it is. Like a rod in the hand. Naked body, so beautiful eyes. And he is served there as Vatsalya Bhav in the Bhava of Mother Yashoda. Between 7 and 7:30 in the morning, the demigods come and they worship him. So all the pujaris, everybody just go out. They close the temple, darshan is closed, and the demigods are serving. Deva Rishis are serving him. And 7:30 again. At 5 o'clock, you will hear beautiful songs in Kannada, waking up the Lord. How elaborate worship is there. And it just go on and on. How many types of lamps are there? One lamp is few wicks, one lamp is 100 wicks, one wick is on the Kasava, that is Kachwa. Another lamp is of four Venice ferries. And how they are so well coordinated that all the lamp plates are already made and just has come one after another. And there's a worship and give, take, worship, give, take, worship, give. So beautifully. So opulently and so beautifully and so much lovingly. And at one point of time it is said that Mother Yashoda inspires the chief Swami what he should be dressing Krishna as. As Mother Yashoda also dresses Krishna every day. There's something called as Manorath, you know. So on Fridays they decorate him as Devi. And please I'll tell you, in Navaratri all 9 days he was decorated as Devi. One day was Mahishasur Mardini. One day was Rukmini waiting for Krishna. And the Brahmana has gone with the message. Like this. There's one bolster here. and with legs like this, with fully ornamented, because this is a dullan, na? She's become already decorated as going to be married. Very beautiful decorated and waiting for Krishna. Then one day Saraswati, one day Lakshmi, one day Gajalakshmi, all 9 days he was decorated with Devi form. But whatever is decorated with, there is a small piece of butter on the lips. You have seen our children when they act now in a drama. They are like with Mukut, Gada and Bhimsen and Krishna, Balaram, but they are always eating popcorn in between. Because they are children, they have to eat cheese balls and popcorns and biscuits, everything and wafers to keep them encouraged to act in drama. So Krishna is dressing himself. On the day of Mokshuddha Ekadashi, he is in the golden chariot instructing Arjuna about Bhagavad Gita. And so many, all the festivals, all the ornaments of Udupi Krishna are pure gold and diamond. One of the Acharya, in his 2 years of tenure, made Vajra Kavacha, Vajra Mukuta, 1 crore rupees worth, only crown. And another Acharya, in his tenure, made Vajra Kavacha. That means a full dress, the shirt and the whatever it is below. Adariya and Uttariya, everything was diamond. And someday, they both put together. You can see the glory, shining. Lord is shining. And that's not the only ornament. There are also other ornaments they are wearing. There are storehouses in the temple. Big ones where all these golden chariots and event connected, all the paraphernalia are stored. All gold and diamond and everything is there. And the Lord is wearing that regularly. Hare Krishna. So, I can tell you something, that when you get attached to such things like Udupi Krishna, Udupi Kshetra, his pastimes and the prasadam that they serve there, if you get attached, I'm sure you can easily get detached from the painful events of your life. I can guarantee you that. There is no other way. There is no psychotherapy, there is no professional counseling, there are no exercises which they prescribe you, count from 10 to 1, 100 to 1, backside, all your anxiety, worry will go, take deep breath. This works a little bit, but no guarantee, because still people are frustrated. They go change the psychiatrist and go to different psychiatrists, change the counselor, go to different counselors. But getting immersed in Krishna Katha is guaranteed to give you mental peace and bliss, both. It will take you out of the miserable conditions of life. Even though the miserable conditions of life exist continually in your life till the end of life, that is guaranteed. But what does it do? In the middle of all the miseries, you can remain blissful. This can be only possible when you are Krishna conscious. One of the features, one of the opulences, one of the qualities of Krishna consciousness, that it can relieve you of the miseries in the middle of miseries and make you blissful while you are in the miseries. Because it takes you above the material platform of being and gives you, puts you on transcendental platform and gives you the bliss which is available on the transcendental platform. It's very simple. The ground floor is hot and first floor is air conditioned. So when you go to first floor, immediately you feel the air condition. Beautiful cool temperature. So Krishna Katha brings you from hot burning situation to air conditioned situation. And whatever is happening down continues and you remain cool after that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? I'm tempted to tell you one thing in very short, 2-3 lines, that the deity of Narasimha Dev, which Narasimha Dev gave Prahlad at the time of his departure from the Leela of the world, Narasimha Dev, Ugra Narasimha Dev, was worshipped by Prahlad for a long time. Then Prahlad came with the deity to witness the pastime of Bali Maharaj when Vaman Dev appeared. His same Lord, Narasimha Dev, came as Vaman Dev. And then all the blessings were given. And final blessing was that, I will come to Sutraloka to stay with you as a Dwarapal. At that point of time, Prahlad was witnessing the whole pastime he just gave that deed to somebody and went with Vamandev to Sutal Loka to become the doorkeeper. Where is that deity of Prahlad? That deity of Prahlad is in my hometown called Mulika Kshetra, which is called as Mulki, which is 25 kilometers south to Udupi, 25 kilometers north to Mangalore. There's a place called Mulki, Mulika Kshetra at the bank of Shambhavi River. That Ugra Narasimha deity journeyed a long distance, and there is long pastime, as I am telling you in short. Finally, it was established in my village. And there's Ugra Narasimha temple there. Amazing temple. Whenever I take Yatra to Udupi, I take people there. There are two things. I love this story. I'm very proud that the deity of Narasimha Dev is in my village. And I love that place. So I take devotees there. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.